The following podcast has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer, and joining me today is our co-host from KWK, the KWK brand, ladies and gentlemen, Sean. Sean, how you doing, bud?
How you doing, Dirt Sheet writer?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
You forgot to introduce yourself, like, you know, with your name and everything.
After 310 episodes, I think it should be obvious at this point who I am. So I'm going to stick with that. I am Lee Walker, though, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who is new or, you know, might not remember my name after 310 episodes.
Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, so let's start right off with the Elimination Chamber. We say spoiler-free is the way to be, but it's Wednesday, folks. It's Wednesday. Yeah. So, well, when this comes out, it'll be Thursday. But, you know, so there's been plenty of time for you to, you know, let it sink in, everything that happened. And, God, Sean, I got to tell you what. If you went back and listened to the prediction show, you would almost think that, like, we knew.
Close. We were close, I would say.
I got to tell you what. The predictability, to be able to predict the pay-per-view like that. Where's the awe moment? Where's the leaving fans shocked moment?
You know what? See, here's the thing, though. You know, I mean, we had at your era back in the day where things could be predictable as well. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't predictable in a lot of senses. But it's the process of it that, you know, if the process is not predictable, I think it gets people talking still. And right now, the main part is that, you know, everybody's going to chime in, and eventually everybody's going to be able to predict something happen. I mean, that's no way around it, unless you're really going to force the unpredictability. But once you force it, it's just kind of like, you know. So
yeah,
I guess they just sort of go with the flow instead that way, you know, which there were surprises, though. Don't get me wrong. I think there was.
Well, there was.
Yeah.
There definitely was. You know, I'm talking in the essence of like when, so example, that the go-home show of Monday Night Raw before the Elimination Chamber, Rhea Ripley and Io Sky defend the titles against Lash Legend and Nia Jax. As soon as they dropped the titles, literally the first thing I said was, Rhea wins the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
And what happened?
Rhea won, but
yeah,
honestly, visually, though, you know, who else is going to be able to do a very, very big contrast to the utterly useless women's champion, Jade Cargo?
And you're right, and we talked about that in the prediction show.
Right.
That Jade had to work with somebody that could lead the match.
Right.
And had some sort of veteran status. And while we had hoped for different winners, we kind of knew that it was going to be Rhea anyway.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Charlotte could probably do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of how much people are expected, I would, and you know, in terms of a better seller right now, for the box office, I would imagine, you know, probably Rhea would be best.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, with Charlotte, even though not being in the elimination chamber, could always find a way to get herself involved. It's not like
Right.
that hasn't happened in the past either.
I mean, you know what I mean. I mean,
Yeah.
in
Yeah.
terms of like, the whole WrestleMania
The yeah.
marquee, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'd already seen Tiffany and Jade, and we'd seen how that turned out. So
No.
that was not a good
Not
match.
Tiffany's fault. I'm not going to blame Tiffany.
No, not Tiffany's fault,
I just have mad gripes right now with breaking Jade Cargill.
you're gonna have more mad gripes as this goes on, by the way.
Oh yeah, I mean, but the thing is that when you are champion, at least defend the belt every 30 fucking days.
Yeah, that I feel like that almost should be like, a standard rule to being a champion.
Right. I mean, I don't expect you to be like Bret Hart back in the day where he's like defending the fucking belt like every single fucking Raw and Superstar or even,
Yeah.
At least show up with the fucking belt. Like, where the hell were you?
Yeah. Well, she took some
Nobody's
heat.
breaking the
She took some heat from the locker room on Twitter. Jade did, so.
Deserving. I would say deserving. Absolutely deserving, too.
Chelsea Green, Piper Niven,
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley, like a lot of women came in, because Jade was saying some shit. Fans were
You
not
know,
happy.
they should do a Lumberjill match for
Yeah.
WrestleMania. Yeah. So everybody is outside, getting a little bit. So once Jade comes out, everybody can lay it to her.
Perfect.
At
Perfect.
least the crowd will be happy.
Yeah, they would be. And I'm hoping that Rhea takes the belt off of Jade, because I mean she's only had one title defense and it was recently on SmackDown.
I mean, if I were Triple H, I would have done it.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, it has to come to a realization that the entire Jade Cargill project, it's not going anywhere. So get the fuck over with and just give it someone deserving.
Yeah. My honest opinion is like he tried to capitalize, but she should be in NXT.
She should be, I don't know, maybe join, what's his name, Omos and go to freaking Triple A.
Yeah.
I
That could be a
mean,
thing too.
Omos is another one as well. I mean, but the good thing about Omos is that he has the size. So, when you're a big man in wrestling, honestly, you don't have to do much.
Yeah, like when you're like that, when you're a 7 footer like that, yeah, there's not much you have to do. Unfortunately for Jade, she's not 7 foot tall.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean she's a big girl relatively compared to most of the other girls, but
oh, I would.
in terms of height and everything, but she's not anywhere like Omos. I
Yeah.
mean, I can tell you this, right? Omos, when he was in Japan, the fans loved him. Like the fans absolutely go, oh, okay, there's another big man. And Japanese fans love big guys. So, he was a perfect fit for Team 2000X and Noah. And the sad part was that he was gone within like 3 months or something.
Yeah, they didn't do much there.
Well, he was a co-tag champ. He was the
Yeah.
GHC co-tag champ for a little while. He
Yeah, I
left
remember
while
that.
being a champ.
Yeah, I remember that. That's why I'm like, they should have done something like more there for that.
Well, that I think that was WWE's calling. It wasn't
Yeah.
Noah's call, I
Yeah.
think.
Unfortunate for Noah. Especially with
Yeah.
him being the champ at the time, but
But I honestly wouldn't be surprised. Like eventually there will be more stuff done between Noah and WWE.
oh, 100%. Yeah. Every time they go back, they work with
with
Noah.
how Noah is moving more stuff towards closer to the American side of wrestling. You know,
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I hope it continues. So I like Noah.
I enjoy it more than New Japan, to be honest, these days.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's more interest in vibes to Noah than New Japan. I've been saying for years that New Japan has gotten a lot more stale, but that's just me.
No, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you on that statement right there.
Yeah. But yeah, go back to the Elimination Chamber.
That's a very, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute too, because we're gonna talk about that with New Japan, because I wanna we'll bring that up. So we move on into the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship match. As we see, she lives in Chicago, folks. AJ Lee defeats Becky Lynch and becomes the new Intercontinental Champion. Feel like this was an obvious.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping that AJ wouldn't have won. That's me.
Yeah, because I
So
honestly felt.
it would have made Punk's win even more significant.
Yeah. And this, I feel like, I felt like if Becky won, we would have seen maybe like a multi-women match for the Intercontinental Championship. Because I said this, I believe I said this in the preview show in episode 308, that with Becky in the Royal Rumble, Becky eliminated Maxine Dupri, and then Natty eliminated Becky as Becky was still the Intercontinental Champion. And at one point, Natty had said something about going after the belt. Maxine had just had her rematch and everything like that. So, like, I thought it would set up for a multi-women match, but now with AJ winning, I don't know if that happens.
I wonder if someone is playing politics backstage. Right? I wonder if someone is playing that sort of like a little politicking backstage, because honestly, you never know.
You're right. You're right.
Right? Especially for years, WWE has been like well known for politics on the top.
Yeah.
So I don't know if someone go, play a little Cena and go, hey, maybe AJ should win, Right?
Yeah, because like I really thought we were gonna have that Royal Rumble spot. I thought it was setting up for something down the road, and now I'm unsure with AJ winning.
But here's also the thing, though. Politics aside or whatever, Natty on this stage in age, right, at this stage right now,
Yeah.
is she, in terms of comparing to AJ, is she marketable enough, as far as being on the pay-per-view card or the PLE card? Right?
Most
In
of them,
terms of the
yeah.
status, let's be honest. Who wants to see more, Natty or AJ?
Everyone wants to see AJ.
Right, exactly.
You know, Natty's been around for a very long time, and now they're just starting to use that brawler kind of gimmick that she was working in GCW,
Right.
right? And then, you know, they had the vignettes with her, you know, helping train Maxine Dupri, and she's, you know, still now she's working that. And now they've brought it to Raw.
Right.
And my only thing is face Natty cannot cut a promo. Heel Natty really can't either. I
I mean,
mean, and
that's
I'm
the thing. It's just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, I'm just not entirely sure.
yeah.
What that gimmick is, it going to go well enough? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I just hope it works for her because, like, not for nothing, we've already seen like multiple failed MMA kind of gimmicks in WWE already.
Right. I think the only one that, well, the only two that really did well was Brock and Ken Shamrock.
And those were dudes, by the way.
But
For
then,
women, it hasn't
also,
panned out at all.
if you think about it, right? Also, if you think about it, Ken Shamrock was first trained in pro wrestling first.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that.
So that does make a difference, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, Brock was the first one to go from wrestling to MMA to wrestling, but, you know, he had all the amateur wrestling and stuff too. You know,
Well,
Ken Sham.
you know what? Ken was probably the first, but Brock is more polarized. That's why most people remember
Yeah.
him as the first one.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, speaking of that MMA crossover, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion CM Punk defeated Finn Balor, and he will go on to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 42.
You know what? The only thing that I was surprised about was that Judgment Day didn't come out.
Yeah. And
I was actually expecting, like, Dom and a couple of the other guys would just come out and just, like, but none of that happened.
no, none of it. I was,
Yeah.
you know.
Which I feel bad for Ben, because that means, like, for him to lose this clean, the
Yeah.
perception is going to be like Finn is nowhere near the status or the caliber of wrestler to Punk.
Yeah. I feel bad for Finn though. I feel like he, you know, he should get another championship
Right.
down the line, but I like where the storyline's going with him right now. And I'm going to talk about that briefly after we finish up with the Elimination Chamber, because I'm about to make you very upset because I'm a fan of this next overall ordeal. We finally figure out what the heck that mystery crate was about. And let me tell you something. It was very nice, very evil. Cursed.
Oh, God.
It was Danhausen. Danhausen was the one in the crate. And at midnight the night before, he was taken off the AEW roster page. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Danhausen is officially in WWE. Sean, I know you are not happy about this one.
Not that I wasn't happy about that one. I just thought he would be more deserving to go on for Halloween, like any sort of Halloween episode or something. I mean, for doing something like this, and you saw the Chicago crowd, they absolutely hated it.
He had some cheers at first.
Yeah, some cheers at first because it was like, ooh, surprise. And then they go, who the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this ripoff Sting coming out from the fucking crate? Right?
You mean when R-Truth looks at Danhausen and goes, "Hey, Sting, you've lost weight."
But, like, honestly, I mean, shouldn't. Here's the thing. Okay, Danhausen probably should go to NXT. Probably should go to AAA.
Yes, because he
His
can work
would
with.
have done well right now in Japan, to be honest. Yeah, have him team up with like Mr. Iguana in freaking AAA.
Yes.
Have them go for the AAA tag belts, right? Have fun, Pagano Psycho Clown. I'll be more for that.
I would be
But like,
too.
have him to come out on the pay-per-view is essentially gobbledygooker coming out of a fucking egg at Survivor Series.
A lot of people made that reference,
It
including
is
yours truly.
because that's exactly how it feels.
I will say this, it did it, I'm a Danhausen fan. I think he's funny. And the way it came off, and the first thing I'm gonna do is naturally, because I'm a former dirt sheet writer, I'm gonna blame the dirt sheets, right? Think about it. You've got like, I mean, not Sean Ross Sapp, but like you have these articles that come out, like the top five people who could be in the crate. People get talking and read those articles. And they get their hopes up. Like Chris Jericho is going to come out of that crate. There were people that thought that was going to be Chris Jericho with a
Right.
tie-in to the Elimination Chamber. And I'm sorry, but there is no way that someone like Chris Jericho would plan a spot where he comes out of a crate. There's no way.
Especially for this long in a fucking crate.
Yeah.
You need to be someone who's not a normal human being to be in a crate for this long.
Yeah, Danhausen fisted.
Exactly.
Fans were disappointed. They got their hopes up. I didn't know what to expect. I got a laugh out of it.
I mean,
So there is that.
I expected, I expected Danhausen wouldn't have done too well. Like it wasn't just the way that he comes out, but does he fit?
No,
Does he
not at
fit the
all.
WWE?
No,
Right,
not at all.
exactly.
He doesn't at all. Let's be real. He
Yeah.
does not. He does not fit the narrative of what WWE is. But when it comes to WWE and sports entertainment, he 100% fits. I feel like Danhausen is going to be somebody who is more in an R-Truth role where he's more backstage than he is in the ring.
Well, I think R-Truth has done great because, the gimmick that he did was a very logical change, if you know what I mean. Like,
Yeah.
he got he got he kept losing so many times, so he lost his mind and stuff. There was a, no matter how you look at it, there was a certain long-term storytelling aspect to it, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like Danhausen where he just suddenly comes in and having this weird ass voice and trying to curse everybody and just like, what the fuck? I mean we have seen quirky characters over the years in wrestling. Not many people had the longevity like R-Truth because when you're a comedy gimmick, your lifespan is not going to be too long, let's
Yeah.
be honest, right? So I don't know. To me, it's that how long until people are going to be like, yeah, well, I mean, look at Mr. Iguana now. The pop isn't as strong as before. And it's been only what, a couple of months?
Yeah.
So,
He's
how
worn off
long until,
already.
right, how long until Danhausen goes the same direction?
Yeah.
The series characters tend to have a much better longevity.
Yeah.
And I've seen Danhausen matches. I've seen him wrestle. I've seen him, doing backstage stuff, in AEW or whatever. And he's just like, yeah. Is he really that talented? I mean, his gimmick work for indie bands, his gimmick, I'm sure will probably win some kids over, but for how long? It's essentially Hurricane House. And Hurricane House did good for himself because he was mad talented. I mean,
Yeah.
Shane Helms on his own, he was a talented wrestler, needed a gimmick.
Yeah.
But Danhausen, I don't even want to put him in the same line as Shane Helms in terms of wrestling talent. Yes, I'm burying the guy. Bite me.
Well, while we're talking about Danhausen, I'm going to veer off real quick and go down this road because on Monday Night Raw, he had his first backstage segment and he had a list of demands, which one got met, which was the finger pointing photo with Triple H. He got that. Danhausen then ran into Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio. And he, in Danhausen fashion, saw the Intercontinental Championship, and said, "Ooh, can I have that?" Dominic was like, "No, blah blah blah, you're not gonna last," sort of stuff. But then later, after that, Danhausen cursed Dominic Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio lost the Intercontinental Championship to Penta. So pay attention to who Danhausen curses, ladies and gentlemen, because Dominic Mysterio is cursed.
So basically, here's this. Are we going to have every single one of Danhausen's feud based on a curse? Because, that's like the only thing that's going to be quote unquote logical in the wrestling program now for Danhausen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I feel for Dom now if he's going to be put in an interview with Danhausen. I don't know. I mean, that's just my thoughts. And if Danhausen wins, like if they ever put in a program together and Danhausen wins, that's where I'm like, oh God, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm way too old school. I'm siding with Jim Cornette on that one.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with
Hey, but then again, at least we're not getting pockets in WWE.
it. Yeah.
At least Danhausen moves some merchandise. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he is the number one shirt on AEW right now. Or wow, AEW, holy crap. He was an AEW and a number one merch seller in AEW, but now he's a
But
number one
then you know
seller
what? Let's
in
have a look at
WWE.
what happened with him in AEW though. AEW had nothing for him after a while. And Danhausen was injured for a little bit of time and then he was put back on the show.
Yeah.
And not doing anything with him. So I wasn't surprised by that, by Tony Khan, because we all know how Tony Khan's booking is. 99% of the time is that, hey, you know what? The guy is here for the first 3 months and he was red hot and everything, sometimes probably a month. And then next thing you know, oh, what is he doing? Oh, I don't know. Let's just put him there. He's there. Well, she's there. And then once they're injured, they go, oh, I forgot. Oh, that person is still working for the company? right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's sort of like the same thing with Danhausen, I would imagine, because they're not going to put into the extra time to work any sort of angles for him, do any sort of storylines for him and stuff, you know. So just say, oh, when we got something, we got something for him.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think too. You know, they're just gonna, you know, float around until they can figure something out with him, and just he'll be backstage for a while, which honestly is kind of okay with me. Like, he really, for me in WWE, he seems like he would come off more as a, you know, segment kind of guy instead of wrestler.
I mean, you know, we'll see how he does in WWE in terms of wrestling. You know, if he wins me over with his wrestling, great. You know, I'll be a fan. But,
Yeah.
you know, they probably need to figure something out in terms of gimmick that's less of what he's doing now. I mean, it's working for most fans that like him. But, you know, how long until he gets stale?
Time will tell.
Right, because once you're in territory for too long, I mean, and I'm still calling it territory, because you know WWE is a bigger stage, but it's still a wrestling company slash territory, no matter how you look at it. It's just like, you know, right now the territory's got bigger comparing to 2 years ago.
Oh,
But
yeah.
at the same time, it's that, you know, once you have reached that large amount of the audience, how long until you get stale is the big question.
Yeah, and you notice wrestlers always like reinvent themselves in some sort of way, and that's never really been the case with Danhausen.
Right.
It's always
It,
been the
it's
same.
it's the same thing right from the get-go, and you know, you cannot be a one-hit wonder in WWE. You just can't.
Yeah. Well, time will tell for Danhausen. However, Sean, the main event was the Men's Elimination Chamber, and we now know that the undisputed WWE champion Drew McIntyre will face Randy Orton at WrestleMania 42.
And that was, you know, that was the big surprise, which I think it was done very well.
Yeah, this was the one, you know, Jacob Fatu ends up in, and as a result of what happened on SmackDown with Jey Uso mysteriously getting attacked, we don't know who attacked him.
Right.
Jacob Fatu wins his way in. Or no, he didn't win his way in. It was Logan Paul that won that match. I'm sorry. Oh my
Yeah,
God. Wow, I'm like, wait a
because
second. I keep
Jacob
saying J
Fatu got injured, remember?
Yeah, because I kept saying, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. I'm saying something wrong here. So it ends up being Logan Paul in, but you know, Jacob Fatu was right there when Jey Uso was attacked.
Can I
And
add something quickly?
yeah, go ahead.
Jacob, Logan Paul, you prick, you ruined the Pokemon community. Done.
That's fair enough. So he's, you know, so like the way that everybody thought was, and at least I thought, that they were gonna have Cody in, and we're going to see something with Drew and Jacob that causes like a triple threat match at WrestleMania. And
Right.
instead, this is like the one where everyone got like thrown off and they have Randy win. I like it because Randy's a great talent, and Drew is a phenomenal heel, but I think we need Randy to play like a tweener. Like an in between. He can't be good or bad. He's got to be like both. Because like to me, a face Randy Orton is never that good of a Randy Orton.
Yeah. But here's the thing though. I mean, now we have and you know, we'll see how it's gonna go on SmackDown. Cody taking on Drew for the belt again
Yes.
because Drew came in and interfered. Now, I want to see Cody win. So and you know, people are gonna go, oh, how come, you know, Cody's getting so many title shots, you know? And I told you before in private, I say he's the, he's the senior of WWE right now.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter to me is that he wins. I'm fine with it. I like Cody. I met Cody years ago when he was in New Japan, and he was very businesslike, very, comparing to some of the other guys I've met in wrestling, you know he's all business.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that. And the moment I met him for the first time, I know doesn't and it wasn't even it was a couple of months before AEW started. So they were on their way out. And the impression I got with Cody was even if AEW failed, he would do well wherever he goes. That was the impression I got right from the get-go, and I proved my point. Now, the big question is, if Drew loses, are we going to see Nick Aldis coming out to actually wrestle against Drew McIntyre? This is something I want to see. Because I've been saying for a long time, I want to see Nick Aldis wrestle.
You know,
I
the
don't want
way,
to see just be a GM.
yeah, and you know, the way that Nick kind of went at Drew, you kind of got that vibe that that could happen.
Right.
You know, and I think fans would absolutely lose their minds for that because it almost felt like we were going to see that with Adam Pearce.
Right.
That he was going to wrestle, which, by the way, would still be really cool if Adam Pearce did, because he was a wrestler before all of this.
Right. Both of them were wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
I
And
mean, Nick Aldis was a former NWA champion, one of the top NWA champion in re recent years.
yeah, tried to help bring the title back to its prestigiousness of what it once was.
Right. And let's be honest, between him, Rob Conway, I don't even remember who else carried that belt. That was quite meaningful. I mean, Cody did as well.
Yep,
But
Cody did.
between those three, I couldn't remember anybody else that were as meaningful.
Yeah, I can't either. I know NWA's had some champions like Trevor Murdoch,
Right.
Matt Cardona.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that. That was an intentional either. I just completely forgot about winning the belt. Oh, he's gonna trash me on the show.
Yeah, I'm gonna DM him. Be like, do you believe this disrespect? Nah.
I really forgot that he actually won the belt, but one that I really, really did remember that I felt really significant was Nick Aldis being the NWA champion because he just looks so good with the belt around him. Like
Yeah.
the impression that the moment that he carried the belt, walking around and go, oh, okay, does bring a certain prestige. He really does have that look no matter how you look at it.
And plus the way he dressed and carried
Right,
himself, like
exactly.
it was amazing.
It really reminds you of the 80s, early 90s, any champion that really holds the belt.
Yeah.
Like, so it reminds you of old Ric Flair, like roll
Yeah.
the suit and go on carrying on that belt. So, he
Yeah.
really did look the part. And he's not, when he puts on the suit, he doesn't look rugged. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? He looks like, he's a very intelligent champion with a belt.
Yeah.
Which even now, when you look at him as a GM, he again, he puts on the suit, he really looks the part.
Yeah.
Part of me don't feel Adam Pearce is, that looks as good as the GM comparing to Nick. And he did, and he really did the grind as well. I mean, remember when he was in TNA as Magnus,
Yeah.
right? And he was like, He started off with them, even though he was sort of pushed to the moon as well at one point in TNA. Wrongfully, I may add. You know, at the time, I didn't think he was good enough to be pushed like that far.
They did
But you know,
it.
as the NW champion, though, boy, he looked great.
Sure did. Kind of miss it because I almost even kind of forgot that the NWA is like even a thing.
Right. You
Sadly.
know, he I know I'm putting him over big time, right? But Nick held NWA back to a certain recognition, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was really pushing for the NWA for that company,
Right.
for that title. Like he was, and for a while it was great. The NWA was doing great with that.
Yeah,
And
and then
then
he
it
had a
just.
falling out with Billy Corgan. That's when that was it.
Yeah, that's when things kind of went sour, unfortunately. And to be honest with you, it really feels like the NWA.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hasn't like regained that recognition it had with Nick
Right.
as champ, you know?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I talked to some of the NWA guys before. They wanted me to make some figures for them. And I have to admit, I don't think they understand, and it was very unrealistic. They want me to produce Powtown style of figures for them at a cost where I thought it was absolutely insane. Like I can't even produce retro at that price. So
I can see where this is going. Yeah.
they were like, oh, we want to produce that type of figures. I go, you know the cost going is a lot higher, right? They're like, oh, if that's the case, we don't want to do it. I go, okay, fine. You know, it's like I'm not gonna be losing money doing something for NWA because I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah,
Like,
that's
you
understandable.
know, it just doesn't work, especially, and I honestly felt it didn't have that big of a market, you know, in terms of the talents or things like that. So, you know, I told them straight up that I wasn't going to be really selling for them, you
Yeah.
know, through my channels, because I'm sure none of my distributors will pick it up.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it went, you know, at least, you know, end of story.
Yeah, that seems like a hard sell, and especially if it's going to be like, no one wants to lose money doing something,
And
so.
I may add, that was after Nick Aldis was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had Nick Aldis, I would at least go, let me at least make a Nick Aldis figure for you guys.
Yeah.
Right? You know, at least I'll be okay to make Nick Aldis. I'll be okay with that. But you
Understandable.
know, once Nick Aldis was gone, you know, and I think that was even after Matt lost the belt.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of months after that, and I was just like, after Matt has lost the belt, it's just like, what's there?
Yeah.
It's just nothing majorly, no pun intended, enticing for me to do anything.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And we do have something that happened while we're doing this show. You had brought up New Japan Pro Wrestling earlier,
Yeah.
and it had been known that through the dirt sheets and everything that David Finlay was going to be leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right.
Well, it's Wednesday. For y'all, you're going to hear this Thursday. But right now it's Wednesday, so you know what that means. It's AEW Dynamite. And Sean, David Finlay just debuted on AEW Dynamite. He came out and attacked Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin with Gabe Kidd and honestly, someone I don't even know who the hell it is. I'm not even joking. I don't know who it is. It's a guy with long hair, pants. I honestly would have thought it was Brian Idol of the NWA, but it's not. That's what he looks like. So sorry to whoever that guy is that I don't know. Whoever it is, they're teaming with Gabe Kidd. That's all I got. I don't know who the other guy is.
It's another talent. The moment that I saw him, when he was part of the Bullet Club,
Yeah.
right away, I told you this before too. I said it multiple times. I said, he's gonna go far, given the chances.
See, I would have hoped David Finlay would have gone WWE route, gone to NXT. And I say that because, one, his dad works for WWE. But two, William Regal is back working for WWE. But three, William Regal's son, Charlie Dempsey, is in WWE. Finlay and William Regal had outstanding matches, I felt like. They were brawls. They were, knock them down, drag out, but still, also great matches that they had put on. I would have loved to either have seen Dempsey and Finlay go at it, or Finlay and Dempsey team together. That's what I would have seen in WWE. And, at least here in AEW now, we have with, Finley. Oh, it was Connors. That's who it is. That's who that third guy is.
Oh, Clark Connors, right?
Yeah, I was like, who the hell is that guy? It's Clark Connors. Now and duh. But someone on Twitter pointed out that now in AEW we have the Bullet Club War Dogs in
Right.
AEW. And that we just saw that, with Finley leaving AEW that or leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling going to AEW, that basically the Bullet Club was actually no more. They could revive it here.
Right. But you know what? Here's the thing. And I know how people were expecting, Dave Finley going to WWE. I think a lot of people forgot the fact that he's 5'10", or not even 5'10". He's a relatively small guy. He wouldn't have done well enough in WWE.
Yeah.
I met
I
him
mean,
before. I
yeah.
met Dave Finley before. Nice guy, nice hair. Like the hair that, I mean, the first time I met him, he was like having his hair like freaking 80s Fabio shits, right? Like, I bumped into him in the elevator at Tokyo Dome Hotel.
Yeah.
I was just going to Lance's hotel room. and because we're going to do something that day or something, and you know, before he was going, you know, going to his match and whatever, and I was just like, I was just like, man, you know, because like when you look at him from afar in the ring, you don't realize, you know, the guy is that small. And mind you, for everybody that don't know, I'm actually 6 foot 2. So, you know, once I walked in there, you know, when he was having he was wearing a leather jacket with his girlfriend and stuff, and I walked in. At first, I did not recognize him
No.
because he, and I feel so much. I don't even know I should say that with, you know, without getting some backlash. I thought he was just another foreign wrestling fan that was going to watch the show because, you know, this in terms of his stature, he's not a big guy. He's not a tall guy, right? And
Yeah.
I looked at the face, and I look at the face, and I go, "Oh shit, it's Dave Bentley." It's not like, "Oh shit," it's actually, "Oh shit," you know.
Right.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a nice guy and everything, you know. It's just in terms of the stature, in terms of the look, you know, it's like what someone said, you know, you can't pick him up from the lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's no disrespect to him. It's just, you know, in terms of his size, you know, from the first look, I mean, he's a good talented wrestler, don't get me wrong. It's just to say he doesn't have to look. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Sadly, you know, his dad was a whole lot more polarizing comparing to him.
Yeah. Yeah, here you are not wrong.
So, you know, to me, it said, you know, if he was going to WWE, he wouldn't have done well enough for himself. I don't think so.
He would have needed something to stand out because a lot of the guys there are equivalent, but he's on the shorter side compared to the others.
Right, exactly. Because you know, when you're shorter, dude, you tend to be a lot more acrobatic. He doesn't wrestle that style either.
Yeah, he would have found himself around, like, I would say, where they have like Axiom, Ilya Dragunov, Johnny Gargano, that kind of status right now, which to me is like a lower mid card kind of person.
Which is honestly a shame, you know. And you mentioned Ilya Dragunov. You know how big of a fan I am with
Yeah.
his work. And the thing that is different to Ilya Dragunov to Finlay is that Ilya Dragunov, you know, from a lot of stuff that he's done, you know, in terms of his outlook and things like that, he has proven himself to be a very tough guy and you know, a convincing tough guy,
Yeah.
even in a small stature. Sadly, I don't see that in David Finlay either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when they moved him up, I still remember when he came out and sent what's his name? Jay White packing, you know, because he was leaving New Japan.
Yep.
It was like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there was no reason why, you know, suddenly he just joined the Bullet Club because, you know, they ran out of people to promote. So that was the first thing that sort of, you know, put that in the perspective of things. So he was placed in a spot where, you know, hey, we ran out of guys, so there you go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yes, we had the War Dogs, we had the House of Torture, which still sounds like a porn movie. And yes, you know, and you know, I've never been a fan of evil. So,
Yeah.
you know, and At least the thing is, I met David Finley and I thought he was a nice guy. He was a nice enough guy. I
Yeah.
haven't met Evil, so I couldn't say for sure, but
Do you
like I
want
said,
to?
it's he, huh?
Do you want to?
I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
I'm always welcoming to meet different wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some more asshole-y than others, fuck you, ELP. But it's like, yeah. I mean, a lot of these a lot of the things that I have, and I feel bad for David Finley because his work isn't so bad. His work
No,
isn't
it's
so
not.
bad. It's his stature that is getting to him, and I don't think he has found his sort of angle,
Yeah.
if you know what I mean. And I manage talents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, by the end of the month, I'm going to be managing 11 talents. So, I know there are certain talents that need work, and I can actually tell them to go, hey, you know what? Maybe this and this, this, you can work on it.
Yeah.
But I don't think Finley has found his niche to this day.
I'd have to agree with you. I gotta agree with you on that. 'Cause like I feel like if he did, he wouldn't need a faction or a group to be part of.
Right.
He could be fine on his own, but we haven't really seen that.
And honestly, I did not feel like he was like a leader in the War Dogs. I just didn't feel it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, we talked about Danhausen, and
Yeah.
I don't really like the gimmick, whatever, but here's the thing, he found his niche.
He found what works for him.
Right. And Dave Finley, he just haven't found his niche at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he can carry his stash, a lady, and walk around or whatever, which he did when he was beating up Jay White. But
And that's what he used to attack Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin.
right, but the thing is, he needs to think of something else for himself. He really does.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of when Yoshi was starting Team 2000 X, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I have to think of something because I'm going to be more of a managerial role for the team. And he was like, oh, I want a weapon. And he kept, and we were brainstorming that day. He was like, oh, what do you think I should get? I go, well, this one, someone hasn't done it for a long time. Maybe you can think about it. And because I kept a baton at home, I
Yeah.
actually have a baton that's one of those, like once you press button, it just
Yeah.
pushes out.
Yeah, the
And,
collapsible ones. Yeah.
right, those ones. So, I showed it to him. I said, I can't bring it over to Japan. Because they were confiscated right away, probably put me in jail. But see if you can find something similar in Japan.
Yeah.
And then he showed me, and then he showed me, the version of his baton, which it's not those ones where you push a button and it will come out, but it's
Yeah.
more like the big boss man style where you have to swing it. Once you swing it, the part just comes out.
Yep.
And that works for him. So, that's the thing. And I'm like, don't use a shillelagh because everyone's going to be thinking you and to your dad, that's okay. But if only you look as rugged as your dad, which you're not.
Yeah.
You
Yeah, he's
know,
not.
like,
No, he's not at all.
right. And especially with the hair, like I said, like, I swear to God, like the moment that he just kind of play with his hair and stuff. It's really the 80s Fabio shit. I swear to God, I'm not missing. So, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I
When
understand.
people when it works for someone, right? You look at the entire thing from the gear to the demeanor to everything in between.
Yeah.
There's something that it shows that it works. But I think in David Bentley's case, the Shalady is just more comfortable to him because it relates to his dad.
Yeah.
And, does it work for him in terms of the whole package? Again, it doesn't work.
No, and like, during his attack, he looked like nice clothes on, I don't want to say like a pretty man. But I would say, like, kind of very metrosexual looking.
Right, exactly. Which, again, in terms of talent, he's got talent, and I don't want to trash him. I don't want to sound like I trash him so bad. It's just the fact that I don't think his stuff works to a point that he is able to find his niche.
Yeah. He's gonna have to find his niche, and to be honest with you, I don't think that happens in AEW.
Right. Because I mean, how often you see someone in AEW actually full on repackage themselves, or there's something in the creative that really does something to really make things happen. I think the only one so far that has happened is Toni Storm.
Yes. She's done a great job. And then, honestly, I thought the Chris Statlander thing, where she was, kind of like, from a different galaxy and stuff, that was different.
Right.
Now, to me, she's just like the rest of the roster.
Yes, but I felt the whole alien gimmick was so out of whack.
It was, and
Yeah,
it had run its course, and she wasn't going
right.
to go any further with it. Just kind
Unless you
of
want to try the whole Planet Stasiak shit.
Oh, meat.
Good God. Yeah, I mean, stand a man Stasiak,
Yeah.
loved him as a brute, his son. Yeah, probably there was something missing about him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a wrestling historian, you know that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I threw in meat. Who could forget
I just want to add the PMS to it as well.
that?
Yeah, Lord.
Four pack. Just saying.
Mean, okay, that suddenly now we're talking about, Sean Stasiak. Do you think he would have done well teaming up with Val Venus as a tag team?
If he was meat, yes,
Yes,
100
right?
percent.
That's what I was thinking. Imagine Val Venus and Meat as a tag team.
Managed by PMS.
Nah, didn't have to. Didn't have to. I swear to God, two male porn star gimmick?
Okay, throw in the Godfather and some hoes.
No, you wouldn't need to. You wouldn't need to put Godfather into it, but if they could get a porn star at the time to be their manager.
They did use Jenna Jameson once
Right, exactly.
in the Val
Right.
Venus
But,
promo.
right. I mean, you don't need, say, for example, Jasmine Sinclair or whatever, but someone. someone as a manager to them that is that was a porn star would have worked like big time.
Oh, it 100% would have.
Yeah.
It would have been totally over.
The
Yeah.
advertisers would go, oh shit. But the gimmick would have worked well. I mean, Valbenus was I mean, we not talk about his politics stands or whatever, but in
Yeah.
terms of his gimmick at the time, it would have worked, if they put Meat with Valbenus as a tag team, two male porn star and just, add another female porn star as a manager.
And I feel like if they use Jenna Jameson in the vignette for Val, that's who should have managed. And she ended up in ECW. So that's something WWE totally could have pulled off. That would have been hilarious by it would have been hilarious to watch
It
that.
wouldn't be just be hilarious, but imagine the vagueness and stuff like that. How are they going to be able to push that envelope, right?
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, it would have been over because Val Venus was over. He held
He
multiple
was mad
titles.
over, I swear to God.
Yeah, he held multiple titles. So like it would have worked, and it would if anything, it would have built Sean Stasiak up.
Exactly.
And then he
I mean,
was.
even though his backstage shit, didn't fly well with a lot of talent.
Yeah.
I heard stuff before that I was told that from a veteran, I'm not going to name names because he's passed, and he said to me that Sean Stasiak wasn't in the right mind of things as a talent. I don't know what he meant by that, but that's what he told me.
Oh, maybe that's why he ended up being Planet
Probably, who knows?
Stasiak.
But certainly he wasn't liked in WWE.
Well,
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. Happened a lot of wrestlers. The Miz wasn't liked at
Yeah.
first. Enzo wasn't liked. Yeah, that stuff happens. I get it.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, Mr. Iguana was already rubbing people the back in the wrong way when he first went to WWE locker room.
okay, this is news to me.
There was a rumor when he first showed up in the WWE locker room, while still under that's when Triple A was first bought by WWE. I think he met some talents and he started bragging that he will be on Raw very soon. And I think it rubbed some people the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think that came out from Meltzer.
Okay.
Yeah. So, take it for what it is, guys.
Oh, maybe that's why it cooled off so fast on him then.
Probably. But he
Wow.
did show up at the Rumble, right?
Yeah, he was in the Rumble, and there was a few
Yeah.
others from AAA that were in there. Like LA Park was in the Royal Rumble too.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, he
That
was.
wasn't every part, that was La Parca.
Yeah, La Parca, I forgot.
LA Park was a different one.
Yeah, LA Park is now the actual La
The
Parca.
original La Parca.
Yeah, God. There's too much of that. And then if you ever watch them on MLW, there was like four different very there was four different ones.
Yeah.
There's like a whole family of them. Wow. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Someone asked me if I want to sign him.
LA Park.
Yeah.
He's got to come with a chair.
I
He
mean,
is.
I
He
mean,
was the chairman
it
of
would be an
WCW.
interesting gimmick to make.
I think it'd be badass.
Yeah, I'll take. Sorry.
That was cool.
Yeah.
You're good. I was like,
Yeah, I think it will be good to have a La Parka figure, LA Park figure.
oh, I think it'd be badass. I'm not
Something
gonna
with a
lie.
chair, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
Factory will
original
hate me though
chairman of
with all the details
WCW.
and stuff.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I think that would go over. And
I'll take it into consideration.
speaking of going over in the KWK brand, how is Mario Mancini doing?
Oh, we're down to, I think the last time I checked was like the last 27 of
The
Mario
last
Mancini
20,
figures.
the
Yeah,
last
Alibandra.
27.
Yeah, we've only been what? It's only been a week.
And fans, there's only 100, so once the 100 are gone, that's it.
Right.
You will not be able to get these again.
Yeah, I mean, that's like it's insane to me. I mean, people, I suggested to I suggested to distributors, initially because I had three outfits or three colors that I planned. So, it was the red one, it was the blue one, and also the black one. And when all the distributors said, nah, we probably don't want to, produce a Mario Mancini figure, so it was basically down to me. And I want to do something for Mario because, him and I became friends, and to a point where now he's my legal advisor at KWK. Like that's how nice it become, and he's willing to do it for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like he would review contracts for me. He would do a lot of these stuff, which for a company, for a small company like that, it's essential.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right. So he was like, you're doing great stuff for me. I don't want you to being taken advantage of. That's how nice he is to me. And I couldn't thank him enough. So, I want I'm really happy that this is selling well.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you look at my bonding with some wrestlers, right? Look at how I bond with Yoshi.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, you haven't seen me bonding with some of the other wrestlers. With Paul Diamond and Pat Tanaka, right? We became pretty cool. We became pretty cool and close and stuff. Scorpio, the whole reason why I make Flash Funk was because he was one of the first talents that I interviewed, years ago, when he was still married to another wife. And he has been always cool to me, and I love him to death. So, for Mario to be able to do something with me like that, I'm really thankful. And I want to do more for him, let's be honest. But we'll see down the line. But this one that we are selling right now, only 100 made, we're down to the last 27. That's insane. And it's only been
That's
the first
awesome.
week.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
I still have
That's a
people contacting me and go, hey, can you dumb down the shipping and stuff? And I go, the shipping cost is not up to me.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, oh, $23 on shipping and stuff. I'm shipping over from China.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
I've heard people bitching at me saying, oh, you fucking asshole for selling this high, $74.99. I'm not gonna buy this shit, and stuff like that. And I laid it out. I laid it out on the table. I go, look, the production cost is going to be at least $65, depending on the exchange rate.
Yeah.
And then you have the overall operational cost, because selling through my site, the platform still does take away a cut. And it's not like it's sort of like when you're selling on eBay, it's the similar stuff. Whoever
Yeah.
provides the platform still takes a cut. So, even if you try to do a Shopify, you're still going to be getting that as well.
Yeah.
So that takes away something. And then there's also the other costs going in, say for example, Mario's cut, which, even though it's not really that much per figure, because we're only producing 100, but he still needs a cut.
Yeah.
And it he was Mario was like, he was so nice about it, and initially you go, oh, I don't need the money. But I go, you still need to get something. It's your likeness,
Yeah.
right? And it's just one of those deals, man. I'm like, come on. And he is well aware that producing these is hard enough. Initially that if we were doing something extra on the figure, it would have cost about $90 to produce.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so for people that believe that producing figures are not expensive, you're dead wrong.
Yeah.
Because we, at the end of the day, let's be honest, we're not Mattel. Mattel is able to make thousands of figures, being able to sell thousands of figures without problems. We are a small company with every single one of our distributors being mom and pop stores with
Yeah.
much lower, with much lower notability.
And I don't know what the problem is there for people like that to understand. It's much different, when you go into like a chain supermarket versus the corner store.
Right.
You're going to pay more at the corner store. They're not a chain. They just, the way that they get charged for the merchandise is different than how that big chain gets charged. This is no different. This is no different, So I've never seen a problem with the price of figures through, say, you or like any of the other figure companies that are out there that aren't on the same scale as WWE and
Right.
AEW. That's just something you have to understand. You're dealing with a smaller company, you're going to pay a little more.
I mean,
I don't
essentially, I'm a boutique store.
yeah I don't I
Right.
don't I don't know why they have such a problem. I don't see a problem with the price at all, to be honest with you.
You know what it is? I think people are so used to Mattel prices. And even Mattel gets complained as well about their prices at times.
Hey man, if that's the case, then I'm gonna start complaining that things aren't three for $10.99 like the WWF Hasbro's was then, because that's what
I
I was,
wish. I wish I can make the figures with like Hasbro action and stuff like that. And people were asking me about it. Go, oh, there's no action on your features and stuff like that when I first came out with my figures. I go, do you know how much extra it's going to cost to produce 500 figures with action?
Dude, I can't imagine.
Because not only that, once you have that sort of mechanics involved, right, you will have to test the figures.
Every single one of them.
Every single one to make sure it works, and then you will have an abundance of them that didn't work.
Yeah.
So that adds to another cost as well.
And that could add to delays.
Right, exactly. And if you remember, a lot of the old Hasbro, where if you overextend that action, the action is dead.
Yes.
Imagine you pay for $40-something, right, for an action figure and doing the same type of mechanics, and then you realize once you overextend the action doesn't work.
Yeah.
That adds to a whole lot more problems as well.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, I mean, going back to the sales and stuff, man, I'm so glad that it does well. And Laredo Kid, too, is doing okay. We're down to the
Yeah.
last 24 Laredo Kid.
And we, another thing, we just saw Laredo Kid take on TJP
Right.
recently in AAA, who also has a figure through you.
Right.
You
Well,
know, so
three.
three different figures, yeah, because he's got the different variations.
Yeah.
You know, how cool was that for you to be able to see them on there and
I'm glad that we finally have the talents that we sign actually go into a modern debut.
yeah.
Like, I mean, you can bring back this wrestler and that wrestler during their prime when they had the feud, okay, which is what we're doing for our O-ring with Jake the Snake Roberts and Bad News, right? But in terms of modern day feud, we haven't had any. I mean, at one point I tried to sign Sam Adonis to go with Psycho Clown. And eventually Psycho Clown just didn't happen, sadly. Because he was going to meet me in Hong Kong, but I really couldn't go to Hong Kong at the time. So that was the end of it. And we just sort of like lost contact with each other after that. But Psycho Clown versus Sam Adonis would have been a nice one to make.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think right now with the things that we're going and Mario Mancini being able to sell well enough, I'm very happy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, hopefully, everyone will start going with the Laredo kid as well, because we just sold a little over a half.
And Sean, how can fans get these figures?
They can for Mario Mancini is exclusive to shopkwk.com, along with the Club Kayfabe version of Laredo Kid as well.
And fans, remember, spoiler free's the way to be. We're out.